chapter 19, please. 1 Kings, chapter 19. I want to ask the men of God to stand, if you will, please, the men of God. Men of God's families, if you'll stand with them, please. Wives and children of the men of God. I'm reading in verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over in Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You may be seated. I want to preach, if God will help me tonight, on preaching and plowing and getting a double portion. The most mysterious thing that I know about in this world is preaching of the Word of God. I don't understand, but I know it's true. That it takes a man called of God to preach the gospel. The gospel cannot be sung. The gospel cannot be taught and cannot be read. It must be preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost by a God called man. I don't understand it, but I know it's true. And I'm glad that it is. There's such a turmoil today in this world. And a lot of it, if I know what God's doing, is because there's so little of the preaching of the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I don't suppose that I'm qualified to preach what's on my heart tonight. I don't feel like I know enough, nor have had enough experience. But nevertheless, God's laid it on my heart to preach this scripture tonight. And I have the preachers and their families to stand. But oh, it'll affect you tonight. If God's men don't preach, your children cannot be saved. The scene here, Elijah the great prophet, the man of God, has ran from Jezebel And he's at the mouth of a cave trying to hide. And the still small voice causes him to cover his face, and God speaks to him and just about tells him it's over, and you can anoint another man in your stead to preach the word of God. I'm afraid tonight, I'm terribly afraid of God Almighty, and I want to be faithful to the calling that I received back yonder so long ago now. And I don't want to lay down the sword nor grow soft in these last days. The old mountain men told me being a preacher's worse than being a dog. And here I am, been preaching 42 years, and I'm still waiting for the dog's laugh. And it's never come on me yet. I'm having a time. I know it's a rough journey, and I'll get into some of that if God will let me. But I've found more joy doing what I'm born to do and am doing tonight than anything else in the world, to preach the Word of God. I remember being saved so vividly. And I don't understand it, but I knew something happened that morning on the inside of me. God saved me. I mean, really, there's a supernatural thing happened to me that morning. And I knew I'd been under conviction 2 years. And I knew when the burden rolled away and all that old dread and condemnation lifted off of me, all the devils in hell and all of the Christians in the world could have never said, "Preacher, you've not been saved." And the calling to preach the Word of God is as real to me as being born again. You hear me tonight, young man. If you just think maybe, don't start it. Amen. If the people at the school told you and your mama told you you'd make a good one, don't start it. Amen. Wait for a supernatural calling to preach the Word of God. It's the only thing that'll sustain you down through the years and the cussings and the lies and the hard times. But if He's called you, you can. Bless His name. Now, when God called me to preach, I heard Him. I mean, it woke me up. I heard Him with my ears. And don't make any difference whether you believe that or not. Me and God knows it so. And I sure wouldn't lie about it. Laying upstairs in my bed in an old house that most of you all now wouldn't keep your dogs in. A little old boy, never been anywhere, done anything. But the voice of God rang in the night and said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Don't tell me not to preach in a holiness church. Don't tell me not to preach to the Pope. God said, "Go and do it." And if I can feel a touch, I'll preach it. Here's Elisha now, anointed to stand in the room of Elijah. And he's a plowman. And if you ain't never learned to plow, you probably can't preach. And I'm not talking walking behind a team of horses. I believe, thank God, God don't call wimps. And He don't call women, He calls men. I'm talking about He is a hardy individual. God knows what He's doing. He won't call a coward. If God called you to preach,
He wants somebody that'll fight on his side.
Amen. Yeah.
If you're going to compromise, just stay at the house. This ain't a job for little old webs with no backbone. It's a job for men. And God ain't a messing with 6 and 7 year old boys. He's a messing. I don't want to misunderstand me. I believe God is dealing with my heart and opening and closing gates like at a cattle market as far back as I can remember me, to position me, to go down the runway when the time comes. Amen. And Elisha's a-planning. Now, I don't think this is the first time he's bumped into God when Elijah comes along. He took it up too quick. Amen. God's a-working with a man before he ever calls him. I can remember sitting in the congregation, and I didn't realize it until years after God called me to preach that I say about a preacher, I won't ever do it that way. It is God. I didn't know that God, what is happening, but God is working on me. And I was literally a plowing with a team of horses, and God is dealing with my heart about carrying His word. Amen. You say, preacher, do you have to go to school? Why, you sure do.
Yeah.
You can't preach without being schooled.
Amen.
Y'all do know that, don't you?
Yeah.
But there's schools, and then there's schools. And I'm not talking about where you went to school. I'm talking about if you ain't God's schooled, you ain't going to preach. Thank God, I suppose there are some good schools that'll help prepare a man. But I'm going to say there's not very many. But I'm going to say if you've been called, you'll go through a rough school. Amen. I'm going to tell you what's right for a young man that God's called to preach. Now, y'all listen, this old preacher tonight, I sure don't know everything, but I've been down the road and I know a few things. The first thing you need to do is make sure you've been saved. I mean, you need to make sure. If there's no evidence of the Holy Ghost in your life, you can forget it. God's not going to preach you until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I've done left a lot of you Baptists. But God saved me, and years later, He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't want to scare any of y'all, but I can take you to the place where the unction and the boldness of God came on me. I didn't do anything that is unbiblical, but I got changed. I mean, from a little old wimp that is afraid to talk to anybody to a fire eater that had walked through and over in order to say that Jesus saved, Jesus saved, Jesus saved.
Yeah.
I'm still afraid. You all never didn't know me before I got saved and called. And Brother Lance, I want to apologize to you. When you call on me to sing, a lot of times I'm too scared to. And I know it's hard to understand, but I wouldn't talk to anybody. Folks would come to our house, I'd leave and go to the woods. And my brothers would bring their wives home. And I wouldn't stay at the house. I'd get me a blanket or a quilt and go to the woods and stay all night. And if I have to get up and sing, it scares me. And a lot of times, and I hate to say that because you'll be conscious of it next time I sing. But I'm going to tell you why. A lot of times I'm scared to get up and preach when a man calls me and I tremble. But there's a little old turn right here. And, and I make this turn right here and something happens. And that you can call it a dove or whatever you want to. But I feel what happened to me back yonder that night upstairs in the back room. I feel that calling on me. And I get a boldness from heaven to do what God told me to do. And I'm happy in it. I said I'm happy in it. I'm not got a sad story to tell. I'm glad God's called me to preach. I may not go very far and do very much, but I'm doing what He called me to do. Amen. I've noticed a strange thing about preachers. Now, y'all really get this. I've noticed a strange thing about preachers that really are called to preach. They preach.
Amen.
They don't have to have puppets. That's what's the matter with them. That's what's the matter with them fellas that's got all them programs and puppets. They can't preach. They've got to do something. But if God's called a man to preach, he'll walk through the puppets and the plays and the ball game and find him a high place and preach the word of God to sinners that are dying and going to hell. A preaching's not just a want-to thing. Preaching is a got-to thing. I've got to preach. If you won't listen to me, I'll preach to the rabbits and the birds. I can't help it. I've got to.
Hallelujah.
When I was telling God I couldn't preach, they were working on me. Do you remember that, preacher? I said, can't and ain't going to. And I'd start praying, Brother Cook. I'd drive him down the road and come to myself a preacher. Amen. You've never been through this. You don't know what I'm talking about. But the call to preach is a holy thing. It's not something you decide you're going to do. It's a calling on you, and it's a got-to thing. Are you preachers with me? I mean, I've got to. And if I'm around you very long for a day or two, I'm going to have to tell you of something from the Word of God. Amen. Now, you listen to me, and I know you preachers not agree with me. But I've been walking this way a long time. The gospel is not the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's right, anybody can carry the gospel. Somewhere or another, there's got to be the power of God in it. Are you all hearing me? The gospel don't become the gospel until it's sent in by the power of God. And God does that through the preaching of the Word. It's amazing what preaching will do. I'm talking about, not talking about joke telling, not talking about all that old clowning stuff. I'm talking about just old rough Holy Ghost preaching. I better get in a sinner, an old rough, a sinner's heart that says there ain't no God make him weep. Amen. And a couple started coming to my church, and in a double marriage situation. He's been playing a rock band in the bars, and she's been going with him. She says she's saved. I hope so. And he's sitting down. He belonged to Church of Christ and hadn't been going anywhere for several years. And he's felt the need to get in church. And he said, I ain't going to one of them old churches that cries and carries on. And she said, I ain't going to one of them dead outfits you went to. And said, I went all them bars as you. Now you go to church with me. And so they came back to church. And he said, now I don't want none of this old emotion. I ain't having it. And that happened to be the morning that it got on up at the little church where I was at. So his wife told me, they called me to the house the night and won't talk to me. She said it got on and said, I turned to him and said, now I'm not crying. My eyes just watering. He said, I am. There's something about the touch of God on the man of God. That'll get in places where nothing else will get. If singing's all that moves you, there's something bad wrong with you. If you're doing it here singing to hear old time preaching, you're deficient. Amen. I want to say, thank God I'm glad I'm a preacher. I'm glad God called me. Hallelujah. I get home on Saturday morning. About noon, I'll get home and get to thinking about somewhere my wife has told me. Said, you're going to have to slow down. The doctors years ago, I said, you're going to have to slow down. I said, I will, but I can't. I've vowed in the last 2 or 3 years I won't quit traveling so far and told some men I can't come. And I get in the bed and get under conviction. And call them back and said, you want me to, I'll come. Yeah. It's in me and I can't help it. I've been called to preach.
Amen.
I asked my wife to marry me. It was in the car. I stopped the car and said, I asked my wife to marry me. I said, now don't answer me. I want to explain something to you. I said, if you marry me, you'll always be second. There's somebody ahead of you. She sure didn't know how to answer that. But I said, I've give up to God.
Amen.
And I said, I belong to Him. And there'd be lots of times when I'll walk away and leave you at home. And I said, I want you to think about it, and I'm going to take a walk. Don't you say nothing. She better sure think deep and long. I took a walk and come back and got in the car, and she's a-trying. She's a-crying, and she said, I accept the conditions. Bless the Lord! Brother Terry, she's never griped at arming the shirt and the shirts and being left alone and raising the young'uns with daddy gone. Bless His name. I'll tell you, if God calls you, if you'll stay in His will, He'll give you somebody that'll walk with you. I want to reemphasize this. And it scares me because folks will get afraid of me. Oh, listen to me, preacher. If you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost, if God hasn't endued and empowered you, get it. You'll never get anywhere without it. I was in Louisville, heard a man preaching, and had a big name. And I thought, as dry, I'd never heard him before, I thought as dry a thing as I ever heard in my life. All the words were there. All them independents were there. And I mean, he is a laying it on strong. And man's a carrying on. But it is dead. You know, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't really realize when somebody else don't have it.
Amen.
But if God, the Holy Ghost, has got on the inside of you, and a man stands up and ain't got it, you know he ain't got it. And God just don't fill the folks with the Holy Ghost that are preachers. And I know this is a scary subject. And you say, preacher, you're acting like a holiness. Thank you. But the power of God has got to be in it, or it'll not convict sinners.
Amen, brother.
Did you know that the Holy Ghost help you pray for sick folk? Oh, this is new to you. There's been times when I prayed for folks that are sick and knew God's going to heal them. You say, preacher, I never did do that. That's all right. I'm not condemning you. I'm just talking about what I know. I went Sunday into the children's hospital in Louisville to the Cosire Crippled Children's Hospital to see my little grandson. He was born on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 days old. What a pitiful shape the little fellow's in. Had tubes running down here by that clavicle bone, that collarbone down inside of him. I don't understand it. And it's transferring his blood out, running it through a machine, and putting oxygen in it and putting it back into his body again. They're breathing for him. I could just see his little old stomach. The doctor said, now his lungs are not doing anything. We're trying to let them develop. Had some kind of wire going into his head. I'm talking about 4 days. 4 days old. They went in his jugular vein and did a heart and lung bypass. I don't know what that is really, but I mean, they did that. That's what they said. And they got blinders over his eyes and won't let him see, and blinders over his ears where he can't hear because they don't want him excited by seeing or hearing. And I asked the nurse, can I touch him? My son's standing there in a tremble. And she said, wash your hands right there. And said, in a solution, a special solution, don't dry them, just wash them. And then you can touch him. And I reached through all them wires and laid my hand on his arm and said, dear Lord, oh. And when I said that, I felt something from another world. Did y'all ever do that? Sometimes it don't happen. But I don't guess I said over 10 or 15 words, and that almost under my breath said, God, if it please you, raise him up and give him health. And walked out of the hospital. And my wife called me yesterday and said he's better, just a little tiny bit better. And tonight I called her again and she said, good news. Little Gavin Blake said he's doing much better. Amen. They're talking about letting him come home on Valentine's Day. Amen. Well, y'all not call me that day. I'm going to be busy. I went into the hospital in Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's South Carolina, ain't it? And a friend there with a terrible disease that he caught in the hospital. Y'all understand what I'm talking about, and no cure. He tells me today he was a dead man. He said I was a dying. And I just went in. We just wanted to visit him while I was down there in meeting. I walked in and talked with him a while. And I said, well, we'll pray. And he said, I want you to, Brother Milby. Now listen to me. I'm talking about God, Brother Hanley. I can't heal anybody of anything. I'm a bragging on God, but I'm talking about what the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost gets in it, it means everything. And if he's not in it, don't mean anything. And I started praying. I didn't pray very long, but I felt a touch of God in that room. And I said, amen. And I realized there's a change in the room. And I turned and was fixing to go and look down the hall and the nurse's station. Everybody had stopped. And I said, what's going on? And the fellow walked out with me. And we walked out towards the elevators. And the elevator door is standing open and probably 10 people standing there, at least the length of this church. Away from where I'd prayed. And I prayed and my voice no louder than what I'm praying now. And they're standing there dead still and wouldn't get on the elevator. And somebody ran in the room when I left, one of the nurses did, and said, who was that man? I don't think he's talking about me. And he'll tell you today, he's known another man's been raised from the dead. You say, preacher, what are you saying? The power of God gets it done. And if I couldn't put anything else in your heart and mind tonight, preachers, go after the power. If you don't say 10 words on Sunday morning, leave your outlines alone, but get the power.
Amen.
Old Elisha went after the power. Elijah said, son, what do you want? There's a fixing to cross the river. Oh, Elijah's fixing to leave out of here. And he said, I want a double portion of what you got. Listen to me, young preacher! Finds you a man that's been down the road, walk in his shadow, pour water on his hand, and ask him about the things of the Lord, and do what he tells you to. He'll save you a lot of tears and a lot of miles, if you will. I want to say this to you, preacher's wife. I know it's hard on you. I know it is. Some of you here tonight, it's almost as old as I am, and your wife sitting by your side, ma'am, God bless you. Nobody's said much to you. Most of the time, the Christmas cards you get are not because of you, it's because of him.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what you went through to help him do what he's doing. But there's a record being kept.
Yeah.
Did you hear me, Mama? There's a record being kept.
Yeah.
I'll call my wife twice today, and I can see right now. I'm going to have to call again.
We still hold hands in the grocery store, figuring out whether to buy cornflakes or Cheerios. She's my fellow soldier.
Yeah.
She's been by my side when everybody else said we can't help you. I'll drop you if I have to. She's stayed with me. Hallelujah.
I'd pray and say, God, send me a good wife. I'd meet a girl and I'd say, this is it, Lord. I mean, this is the woman. Man, I mean, this is the woman. And we'd break up and I'd cry and say, Lord, you messed up, man. Yeah. But I know now he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah.
You hear me, young man? Don't rush the thing.
Amen.
I realize, Brother Larry said last night he feels like a spiritual dinosaur, and I knew you didn't get that, but we feel like we're about extinct. Brother Ronnie, they ain't going to put up with that kind of preaching you've done today. You know it, don't you? You know it, don't you, sister? They ain't going to put up with him much longer.
This world ain't going to have an old time sin killing preaching much longer.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
But they'll have to, as long as I got breath. I thought about today, Brother Cooper. I reckon everywhere I helped you in the meeting, they burned you off. Don't you call me where you're at. That's a fact, ain't it? I believe everywhere you've been, where I've been and helped you, they burned you off. And I know that sounds funny, but it ain't funny. It's going to get worse than that.
Oh, you young ladies, you better thank God if you've got a preacher that ain't afraid of your daddy and mama, that ain't afraid of the deacon board. All you young men and young women in here tonight, your daddy, your uncle is a preacher. I'm talking about a preacher now. Your first chance you get, whether it's here tonight or tomorrow, when you get back home, you ought to go hug them and kiss them on the cheek and say, I love you. Keep a preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday school. You know, I guess it's in preaching hour. It got on at the church, and there's a boy sits here on the second seat, and he's in his early teens. He come out of there, and I'm standing here, come straight to me with that face red and said, preacher, thank you for preaching to me.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather have that than an invitation to preach to the king. Oh, yeah. I told you before, I preached one morning just especially rough. It was just one of them mornings that I just preached and preached and hit everything that God had let me think of. I hit it. And I knew then they was going to run me off. And I got to preach about as far as I could go and said, y'all stand. And they stood and I just bowed my head and I said, just, you're dismissed. Just go on home. I'll see you next Sunday when nobody moved. And I said, they didn't understand me. And I raised up and looked at them and I said, y'all just go on home. I don't have anything else to say. I'm empty. And I bowed my head again. I heard the patter of little feet. And in my church, I've taught all them young'uns shake hands with the preacher, and I get on preaching. And here they come. Someone got a hold of me. I look down. There's that little old Josh
spirit. He smiled then. And he had them glasses on like a bottom of a Coke bottle. Looked up at me and said, "I like you preaching." Hallelujah. I said, "Oh, if you sit on again, I'm going to hit her another leg." Oh, preachers, hear me tonight. You don't have much longer to do what you're doing. I've known now for probably 20 years. There's a bill laying yonder now in the Congress. They told me, a reliable source told me, that they're going to try to shut down every church that don't have at least 300 members and make you come together. I think it's so they can get to you easier. What I've been preaching for the last 42 years is pretty soon going to become hate speech.
Yeah. God bless you.
But I have no intention of stopping because I can't.
Amen.
There's a force on the inside of me. Been a preaching and a pulling for 42 years. And I can't stop it. That's his name. And I don't want to.
Amen.
Brother Lance, if you'll give me a chord, I'll sing it.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
When the clouds hang low, man of God, and they're pointing you towards the door, don't give up. One day while I was thinking on unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled me with His love. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. You preachers and families, stand. I used to have some people who walked and talked with me. But since I've started preaching, they've turned their backs on me. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say give me silver, and some say give me gold. But I say give me Jesus. He satisfies my soul. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Give me advice. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, if you will help me, I'll sound it wherever I go. For I'm going going down on this battlefield. I'm going down in this war. I'm going down on this battlefield with glory in my soul.
Amen.
Amen. I heard the